Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
It's a beautiful morning, a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord. Yes. All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us, that guides us, that watches over us, watches our comings and our goings, and holds us when we need to be held. Right now, Lord, please allow everyone to have those distractions be put outside, that right now they just spend time in worshiping you, in loving on you, in feeling your presence, and feeling your touch, your heavenly touch over each and every one of us that brings us healing, that brings us redemption. Lord, allow us to go forth this week and be a blessing to all we come into. Let your Holy Spirit guide us and speak to us in that voice that says, smile at that person, say something to them, allow them to understand the hope that you have, that we encourage one another, that we love on one another, especially those that are hurting, because we need to spread the gospel. That is our duty. That is what God wants us all to do. We need to allow people to know that there is a hope, that there is understanding, that there is a loving Father that will just draw them in. And so, Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
I just wanted to say to everybody that you can have an internal voice of wanting to stand up and only pray with positivity. And basically what that's called is suicide. And I just want to say that I found love, and basically the only thing I found after that only was pleasure, because I never stood up for myself. And I found out down the line through a lot more struggles with suicide that I had to stand up for myself. And that changed and turned everything around for me. And I found freedom. And I hope to find freedom for everybody else too. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. We serve a mighty God, and He does say, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find me. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. This is the kind of God we serve. And He does want us to seek Him. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to have great faith that what you're waiting for, what you're asking for, you shall receive. Because Jesus already bought the price at the cross. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Good morning. I was given this poem this week, and it has a lot to do with walking by faith. And since our sermon's on faith, I might as well read it. It's called Lean on Me. Lean on me. I'll help you see, for the path ahead is dark. Shine your light, beam it bright, and clearly view that I am here for you. Nothing will scare, nothing can harm when you keep your eyes on me. Let's converse a while as we tread the next mile. Time will pass swiftly, and I'll make you smile. Your heart will be lighter, your day will be brighter when your thoughts are shared with me. My peace will abound when all around might be chaos as we walk. But rest assured, I'm in control. Keep your eyes on me. For I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I know the path ahead. It may look uncertain, but trust my friend. I know the beginning and the end. Just hold on and follow me.
So can I just say to be in the moment? Don't get so busy and distracted that we lose sight and stop listening to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, I had such a divine appointment. I was literally on a walk down at Historic Canoa Ranch, Walk for Hunger, and I was even part of a team that we were walking together and everything. But when I first started out around the pond, I had this gentleman, and he just wanted to talk, and I didn't know him at all. And before you know it, we're around the entire pond one time. And he just kept talking and talking. And we talked about everything that you don't talk about. We talked religion. We talked politics. We debated. It was such a divine appointment. There was not much agreement. But we just had a moment, and we talked about too much hate and not enough love and, you know, focusing on God. And he told me something about what he believed, and I'm like, I don't understand that. I said, you know, I believe in God, you know, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we were trying to figure out where we stood, you know. And so just be in the moment. Just let the Spirit move you. Don't get so distracted, so busy, so focused on the social media and the scrolling and the TV and the events. Just be in the moment. Be with the people around us. And just open your ears. James says it. It says, quick to speak, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath.
Amen.
On? Okay, there we go. I guess that's confirmation that I need to share with you, being open to what the Lord wants, when he wants, in his timing, and that that you need to be obedient, because I had an appointment to have a dentist appointment at 11 o'clock, and I was here on Tuesday morning at the Ripple Effect. And we had just finished communion. We were finishing up, and it was 10 o'clock. And I thought, okay, well, I'll spend the hour waiting here at the women's, the next function, but we weren't having it that day. And so in the middle of communion, I had my phone turned off, but it started to buzz, and I thought, well, maybe I should just look at that. And they said, can you come right now? Because your hygienist is ready. So I went, and the girl says to me, oh, you were so kind that you came early, and the last time you had an appointment with me, I was 45 minutes late, but you were so kind. And I had to tell her, look, the only thing that makes me different than anybody else is that I have the Lord. And so that's why the kindness in me is because he lives. And so as we were going through, and she has her hand in my mouth, and we start talking about different things, and I could tell that it was sort of going in the direction of talking about God, because I had sort of brought the subject up. But when you have somebody with your mouth and their hands in your mouth for 45 minutes, yeah, you're listening, but you can't really say too much. And I was praying, because whenever we had the Ripple Effect, I was praying in the Spirit for that whole time. And so finally she finished, and I was thinking, God, what do you want me to share here? And it was kind of awkward, but finally I said to her, is there anything that I can pray with you about? And she almost read, she says, yes. And then she started telling me about her parents and about the fact that they want her to move back to Pennsylvania, and she doesn't want to give her job up. And she had been asking the Lord to show her what to do. And so I was sent there an hour early to pray with her. And I said to her, is there anybody that filled my spot afterwards? And she said, no, I have time. And so we talked for almost half an hour, 45 minutes. And she said, this morning I prayed to God to send somebody,
yeah,
to pray with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I keep thinking about the word where it talks about that we don't live by bread alone, but by the word of God, right? And his word, this song I've enjoyed so much because I think I shared with you guys last week that when I first heard this song, I actually, like the words, of course, they're scripture, right? But it was just so repetitive, right? That there was times where I was like, man, this song just kind of goes over and over, right? But God's really shown me something in it and how precious our time is when we just rest in a spot, right? And somebody had talked to me about songs, and she told me, it was Liz, she talked to me and she goes, you know, sometimes we sing these songs that kind of like, you know, they go over and over. And I was like, I thought of her right away in this song because I was like, oh, this song, it's going to be that for her, you know? But something came out when she talked to me about it that it just like really, it was like, man, God, you see, church can be a religion that people just make a routine, right? But God's not just a routine for us. Like, it's a real relationship. That word all the time, being in the word, going after him, there are days where I guarantee you'll be like opening your Bible and maybe it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm so gung-ho about reading this thing or whatever it is. But I can guarantee you that if you keep going after it, if you keep pressing in, that he's going to continue to give you things. See, it's about building that relationship. It's not just about coming into a church and sitting down and going through the motions of doing the right things. It's about getting to know a father that loves you and wants to give you more things all the time. See, that renewing of your mind it's something he's wanting to do regularly. It's the reason that we can, go in and dive in and have new things that he's just blessing us with in the perfect moments of our life, right? In the time that we need him, in the moments that we need him, in times we feel we're in need, in times we feel like we're up, he is there for all of them, every single one of them. It's us who moves away from him sometimes in those times that we need it the most. But see, that's the thing, is if we dig in, if we really dig in, right? There is always something, I guarantee you. He will speak to you. He will give you things. Sometimes we complicate the process, right? And I just love that it's, you know, it is that important in our life that just like it's saying, we gotta eat, right? But you need the word of God. It's so important. It's so vital. It's so much of everything we need in every moment. And going back, she talks to me about these songs. Sometimes we, you know, we sing this part over and over. And I know that there are times where I tell them, we're going to repeat it. We're going to repeat it. We're going to repeat it. And it's because when you feel God in something, don't be so quick to move. I don't know who this is for, but I can feel an overwhelming feeling of just so much love. But if you feel him in something, even if it's in a song or if it's just in your one-on-one time with him, don't be so quick to get up and move to the next thing. Rest in it. Allow him to give you what he's trying to give you and just enjoy it. See, it was the same thing that I told her when she said that. I told her, you know what? Sometimes the reason it repeats those things so many times is because God's in it and they feel it. And they feel it so much that they're like, just repeat it again and repeat it again and repeat it again. And that's okay. And I listened to this song, what, years after the first time I initially heard it, a year ago, right? And what once felt like a very repeating song felt like an amazing place to rest. Because see, seek first the kingdom and all will be added. That's exactly what it is.
You go after God, you press in, you seek, he's gonna give. He's not withholding anything. He's ready to give. He's ready to pour it all out on you. He's ready to just give you all the things you need. See, when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we just make that our focus, when we realize that it's as simple and easy as that, sometimes you don't even realize the transformation that God's doing, because you're just reading and going after him and he's showing you things and you're going, oh, that's really awesome. And then as it begins to affect your life, you begin to see how it made a change that you didn't even realize. See, sometimes it's just the simple act. The simple act of, let me come and worship. The simple act of, let me just go after you. The simple act of, let me make you what's important. Because I guarantee that if we become a church that learns to seek first the kingdom and everything, that we will be more effective than anything we could just do by ourselves. See, I can tell you that we never planned. I don't know where my husband, but I knew he liked to coach. When I met him, I knew he liked to coach. And there came a point where honestly I did say, like, okay, enough coaching. Like, this is taking up so much time, right? And then he asked me to do it with him. And at first I was like, oh gosh, like this already takes up a lot of time and now we're both gonna be doing it. But I did it with him, and then God really got on me. And it was in my reading one day. And it was a moment that I knew my husband was good at coaching, but it was a moment that I knew that it was what he was called to do. And see, I'm grateful for the connection, the spending time, because I'm gonna be honest with you, the me emotions was, we don't got time for that. It's not making us any money, and we really have a lot on our plate already. But when God talked to me about it, it changed my whole perspective. One, it made my heart so much more towards that thing that I knew he was called to do. But not just towards him, but also towards what his ministry was. I began to see the effect on children. I began to see the relationships we could build with kids. I began to see the things that God was doing. And then it completely turned things around, right? See, if we always just go on what we feel, it's not always where God's taking us. It's why it's important to seek the kingdom of God and know what he's got. Because it might not always make sense. I've said this so many times. Coaching didn't always make the best financial sense to our family. But I can tell you that boy has it made us rich in so many ways. See, when we follow what God's got for us, it is way better than anything that we could ever do. You'll feel it, you'll know it, and you'll see it in your life. It's why it's so important for us as a church to be going after all the things he has for us. Not just what we want, not just what we think, but what he's actually got for us to do in our life. Because when you start doing the things that God's called you to do, you will be 100% so much more fulfilled. And you will feel happy, you will feel peace, you will feel all these different things that even though maybe they don't make sense, you got an abundance of, because God's got you. Whew, hold
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you are seeking first the kingdom of God? I mean, get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for this morning. God, whatever you have for me, God, I thank you for it, Lord. God, I seek you, Lord. How many know it's important you speak to God in a way that he speaks to you? He speaks, seek first the kingdom. Say, God, I will seek first the kingdom. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. How many know that God has a kingdom? Do you know he's got a kingdom? Do you know you're in that kingdom? Are you sure? Come on, man. Hallelujah. You are in the kingdom of God. God has purchased you, paid a price for you. Hallelujah. And he has things for you. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for helping. Hallelujah. Let's enter into worship this morning. Last week, we talked a little bit about, well, we're talking about faith. Enough last week, there wasn't enough time to give you everything that God was trying to get through me. Is that okay? So he actually said, yeah, let's do it twice. Do it again. But last week we learned that it takes a measure of faith to get to God. How many of you remember that? How many of you remember that it gives you, Jesus talked about the grain of a mustard seed. Remember that? How many of you got a grain? How many of you got a mustard seed last week? Did anybody go home and break it? There's two, three. You got to take that mustard seed and go home and just break it. Make a mess at your own house. Is that okay? Yeah. Hey, you can just blow it and you won't see it. But those grains are so tiny. They are small. And so we talked about that. We talked about how small they were and how important they are. How many know Abe talked about the small things? Is that right? Abe preached about small things. Is that right? This is very, very small. Almost invisible, if you will. Can you say amen to that? If you're driving by it on the freeway, you'll never see it. Is that okay? Yeah. Even that mustard seed, if you're driving by it on the freeway, you'll never see it. Is that okay? we're talking about small things. But the most powerful things in the Lord can be the small thing. Can you say amen to that? Because Jesus actually said it this way. He said, you know, the disciples asked him, increase our faith. They said, we want more faith. And Jesus never really answered that, because Jesus couldn't increase their faith, because you don't need to increase that little bit of faith that you have. Do you know that? Amen. That little bit of faith will move mountains if you'll believe it. That's what Jesus said. If you have a faith of the grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. This is power. We're talking about powerful stuff. Is that right? Amen. We're talking about spiritual plutonium. Is that right? Spiritual plutonium. Yeah. Things that will move mountains. How many? You know it takes power to move a mountain. Is that right? But Jesus said, if you got just that little bit amount, you can move it. You see, faith comes in a measure to us to get us to Christ. And we learned this last week, that when you come into the place where you believe that Jesus died on a cross for your sins, the Bible says you were crucified on that cross. You died with him. When he went underground, is that okay? He went, it was buried, and in 3 days rose again. If you believe that, he also resurrected you and you became born again, brand new. Is that okay? Am I confusing anybody? Yeah, because if I am, we'll stop and talk on that for a while. But you became born again, brand new, resurrected from death into life. Is that okay? That's what God has done for us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he has taken you from death to life? The scripture says in Romans, he says that you were under our law, but the law of sin and death has been removed from you, so you can live in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? So the law that Jesus brings to you is a law. Is that right? That's why you can't just do anything you want being in a Christian. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, it's a pretty shallow amen, but I'll take it. You just can't do anything you want. Is that right? Some people say, well, once I'm a Christian, I can do anything I want and I won't get in trouble for it. Oh, come on, man. That doesn't even make natural sense. Is that right? You wouldn't let your kids do that, would you? Come on. No, man. So that's not even naturally sensible, I guess.
Yes.
The faith that he's given us is powerful. And it is something sometimes Christians really neglect. Is that okay? It's really not okay, because we do sometimes the faith that God has given us to walk in, we walk in everything else but. And God is saying, no, not anymore. Can you say amen? God is speaking to our hearts that we understand some of these things. So I know a lot of you know a lot of these things about faith and how it works, and a lot of you don't. Is that okay? So that's why we're going to go over it a little bit, because me, what I looked at in the gifts of the Spirit, faith is a gift of the Spirit. Is that, you guys say amen to that? It comes to you by the Spirit. The Spirit of Christ carries the gift of faith. Is that right? Is that okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's 9 gifts. We've been going through them. Faith is one of those gifts, and it's of the Spirit. It's not of man. Is that okay? It is not man. It is the Spirit of God. Is that good? So you might be very, very proud of your faith. Is that right? But it's that faith has to be the faith that God has brought to you. Is that okay? Because that's the faith. That's the spiritual plutonium that you need. Is that okay? Praise God. So I'm gonna start out just a little bit, because usually I start out with a reading about Jesus and what he did and everything, but I'm going to do that at the end, okay? So when you hear that scripture, you can wake up and then come back alive. Is that okay? but I'm going to start with just a few small scriptures. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this: being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Is that okay? Yes. Aren't you glad that he's doing the work in you?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that you don't have to figure it out? It is God that has saved you, and he is doing a work. And that work, he says, he's going to complete. That's what his word says. Is that right? He will complete the work. How many want the work complete? Man, how many get tired of that old man sometimes that tries to jump up on you?
Yeah.
Is that right? Anybody but me? Gets upset. Wants to. I just like to squeeze him till there's no breath, and then let him go. No, yeah, I get tired of that old man. Can you say amen to that? I get tired of the old nature that is within me. But I will tell you that it takes faith to that nature to be removed from you. I don't know if you know that. The Word of God says that the blood of Jesus Christ. How many are thankful for the blood?
Yeah.
Without the blood, you can't. There's nothing now. There's nothing. You know that they used to. Whoo, God. When the priest used to go before the altar, there's a little saying that says, not without blood. The blood of the sacrifice back then, which was representing what Jesus did for us, we go before God, not without blood. We go before him. We say, God, thank you that you washed my sins away. How do you wash them away? With a powerful cleansing agent called the blood of Christ. Is that all right? The blood.
Mm.
Woo.
Amen.
I got messed up right there when I got onto the blood. Because it's Christ. His action for us. The blood of Jesus Christ washes us from all sin.
Yes.
And that's that faith in his blood that actually cleanses your heart. Do you know that? The faith that's in his blood, the Bible says in Acts, it says that it cleanses your heart. Huh. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Yeah. So it says, being confident. How many are confident that God is going to accomplish the work that he started in your heart? He's going to do it. He will do it if you'll let him do it. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He desires a willing a willing vessel. So he can do what he wants to do. Can you say amen to that? That's important that we begin to become willing. And sometimes when we're brand new, born again, we don't get a lot of this stuff. Can you say amen to that? We don't get it. I don't know how it works. It's just something about it, because the Holy Spirit is dragging you, is pulling you. How many know the Bible says that no man comes to Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me, right? Except the Spirit draws him. No man goes to the Father but through Jesus." Is that right? Yes. So Jesus, the Spirit of God, has to draw you to Jesus. Amen. So that you can be saved. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm kind of really enjoying this thing of going over our salvation, aren't you? I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying it. Because these are foundational truths that God has placed in the Word of God for us to learn. Amen. That he brings us in by faith, by the blood of Christ. Amen. And he begins to wash us and cleanse us from everything that is contrary to him that's within us. Because he has a goal in mind for us. Can you say amen to that? He has something that he's bringing you to. See, it says the work that he has begun a good work in you that he'll perform. But see, he's got an idea of what he's going to do for you. He's got a great idea how he's going to have you looking when you're all cleaned up. Can you say amen to that? You're going to look good. You're going to shine. You remember how Moses went up on the mountain? And he got the Ten Commandments from God? Yeah. And then as he came back down, people go, "Whoa, whoa, hold on, man. What's going on, man? Too bright. You're too bright, man." And they knew he had been with God. So much so that he had to put a veil over his. Isn't that cool? Amen. God knows where he's taking you. He's going to complete that work. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So just even if you're a child, even if you're brand new in the Lord, he's taking you. He's going to take you through things so you'll learn more and more about it. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's why Jesus had to come. Amen. Because no man could get to God without the blood of Christ. And it's evident about that. And then he says, the just shall live by faith. Is that right? How many like living by faith? Yeah, I love living by faith, except for the times when I'm trying to get my faith to work. You know, how many say amen to that? Oh, man, I need this. I need that. Hey, you know what? See, faith isn't something that you employ to get you something. Can you tell you that? Can I say that to you? Faith is an element that God placed in your life that you believe him. And when things come up, you say, I believe God. I just believe God. I'm not going to let that shake me, move me, or take me away from what I believe in God. My faith is, I'm confident that he's going to do what he says he's going to do in my life. Therefore, nothing can shake me. Can you say amen? Amen. This is why faith cannot be increased within you. It's just there. The faith is there. It tries life in this. Sometimes even our minds will try to bury it and say, it's not working or whatever. But no, it's there. And it will do what God said it's going to do. Is that right? Is that okay? Amen. The just shall live by faith. That's a statement that was made in the Old Testament by Habakkuk. Yep. Through the Spirit of God said the just are going to live by faith. Not by the law. Not by what you do, not fulfilling your desires of saying this is how a Christian is supposed to be. It is by you believing God for what he has for you all the time. Sometimes we've misrepresented faith by saying, well, I believe God, but it just didn't happen. When my brother passed away, I was saying, God, I believed you. I anointed him with oil, God. You said to take him before the elders. I took him before you, Father. I did everything you said in the Word, God. I believed you. I said this in a little bit of a state. I was angry. I was hurting because my brother passed away. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment and he said, Henry, do you trust me? And when he said that, everything just melted away because faith, I had faith in me and he knew it. And that faith rose up. Oh, God, I trust you. I know you know what you're doing. How many know God knows what he's doing? You see, the things he takes you through are going to build faith in your life. You might not like it. It might seem, and this is not God, but I'm going to tell you, God would say, no, man, this is me. I'm talking to you. I'm building you, if you will. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It's important that you live by faith. Yes. It's important that you don't doubt God. The Bible says that we are brand new when we come to Christ. Yes. He says we are newborns. Is that right? We're born newborn babies. How many like being called a baby? Ah, you big baby. Knock it off. Funny. My granddaughter was complaining because she had somebody smeared a cupcake in her face yesterday. She goes, I'm green. It was stained. I'm going to be stained. I said, it's food coloring. Don't be a baby. Quit being a baby. How many know when you came to Christ, you were a big baby? Wah. Wah. Everything you did, hey God, wah, God, wah, wah. But God was is so loving, and he's, I'm going to take care of you like a loving father. Can you say amen to that? But how many of you know that there comes a time when the heir needs to grow up? Is that all right?
Amen.
Huh. I don't want to be a baby anymore, but here's what the Word of God says about babies. It says, First Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and evil speakings, as newborn babies, babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow. See, kingdom of God, the kingdom is not a process. Can I tell you that? There is no process in this kingdom at all. It's growth. A process says, well, you take two eggs, some flour, some milk, stir them all together, throw them in a pan, throw it in the oven, and you're going to get some bread, maybe. Is that what they call it? I don't know. You got to have yeast and stuff. I don't know. I don't know all the ingredients. But that is a process. The mine I used to work at, there was a process. You grind a rock. You grind it fine enough where you can add water to it. You spin it through a thing that will throw the copper to the side. And isn't that right, Jose? And that's how there's a process. That's a process. And then you get copper. Ta-da, it doesn't just appear. You gotta take it through the process. Well, the kingdom of God is not a process, because every one of us in this room have gone through things differently than everybody else. You cannot direct them and tell them what they need to know and what they need, because you just have to say, you just got to believe God, man. You just got to trust in God. You got to operate on that faith that God has given you, because everybody is different. Can you say amen to that? We have so many people trying to tell people how to do things where God is saying, no, let them come to me so that they might know how I am building their lives. Can you say amen to that? See, we've looked at things in a weird way lately. It's crazy. We think we got to have all these people to help us through things and to. Can I tell you? I have been a youth counselor for ages. Isn't that right, Tom? How long have I been a youth counselor? It says too long, huh? You've been doing that too long. Hey, man. And see, and the best counsel you can give anybody, you need to go and ask God. Cry out to God. Cry out to him, because he will answer you. He really will. Huh. As newborn babies, desire the what? The sincere milk of the word. Sincere. Not fake. Not being, well, you know, I'm just being this way because I want people to notice me around me, or you know, I put on this Christian attitude where deep inside I'm not a Christian. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. See, there's a sincerity in going to God and say, God, I need something from you. Give me your word. I need your word. And that God will give you the word that you need. He always does. If you're sincere with him, he'll be super sincere with you. Can you say amen to that? Because he knows your heart. He knows all those times that you've struggled. Is that right, Michael? He knows all the times that you've tried, you've thought, this is what I'm going to do. And God somehow has intervened, Michael. Is that true?
Yeah.
Because he loves you. And he's not gonna let turn loose of you. He's not gonna turn his back on you. He loves you. But you gotta go to him. We all have to go to him. We need to find out what he's saying to us personally, because that's what he's doing. He has a personal relationship in mind for himself. Is that cool? He wants you there. So come see me, man. He's a good father. Huh. Amen. Glory to God. The desire of the sincere milk of the word. Now, here's the milk of the word. God desires. I mean, if you're going to look for God, I'll tell you what. You go to your prayer, your closet, you go to your side of your bed, wherever you pray. You go in the middle of the freeway, wherever you pray, grab your Bible and look for God's word. Amen. Say, God, I'm in, God, I need something from you. I will tell you that God knows exactly where you're at where you're reading. He knows exactly where you're at when you're not reading. I have, in my experience, I have spoken to my children. I said, look, that book has to be even before a breakfast. You get that book and find something. Even if you got 3 minutes, just open the book and say, Lord, I need something, and allow God to speak to you. I raised my children in going after God's word. My kids have asked me things. Go to God's word. Go to God's word. Because, folks, it really, really is a whole different experience with every one of us. And it gives them a freedom to find him on their own. Can you say amen to that? I want them to find him. I try never to give an opinion on anything. Sometimes that can be hard. How many of you know we all have opinions? Oh, yeah. Is that right? Yeah. I try not to give an opinion. Somebody asked me something, and I said, man, you need to go to God. Well, I just wouldn't. What do you think? What's your opinion? I will tell you what I believe God's word says, but you need to find out. I'm not allowed as a pastor, you need to listen to this, I'm not allowed to have an opinion. My old man is dead. Is that right? Amen. So my opinion doesn't count. It's what his word says, what he says. That's where I want to be. I would rather be a vessel speaking what God is saying to a person. I love it when I get in front of somebody and we'll be talking, and all of a sudden God will give me something for them. I love that. That's what I like about, this is what God says. Have you done that before? It's a beautiful place to be, because it's not you, it's him. And that's what we're here for. We are to speak his word to whoever will. Not try to force it, and not try to drag them into church or drag them out of church. Can you say amen to that? Come on, sometimes people try and drag people out of church. Get out of here, man. What are you? We don't need you here. No, man, if God's got them there, we need them there. Is that right? God knows what's going on in their lives. We are not allowed an opinion on it. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That'll help you, really. It will. It's the word of God that comes filtering into a brand new vessel that gets that. How many of you remember when you're hungry for God? I remember when you first got saved, man. I think I read the Bible through in like 5 months or something, the whole front to back. Man, I couldn't believe how much I had missed. I didn't know about God. I couldn't believe it. I said, oh, man, this is this, man, it says this. God was just, whoo, pushing things into my filing cabinet. Can you say amen to that? He says, desire that sincere milk so that you can grow. Like I say, it's not a process. It is finding out from God and Him causing you by faith to grow. Is that cool? All right? Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 says this, brethren, I could not speak. This is the Paul speaking to the brand new, there are a bunch of brand new Christians. He says, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal people. I can't speak to you as spiritual people. The words you think, the words I speak to you might just fly right over your head. So I had kind of had to go after you carnally so God can give me words to help you to understand in the way you're thinking. Can you say amen to that? See the mindset in the brand new Christian, you know, people have accused us. How many of you have ever been accused of being brainwashed? Anybody? Oh, you're being brainwashed. And I go, yeah, you're in a cult, bro. Get out. Get out now. Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's go down to the bar, get drunk. What? I said, no. I said, I'm not in a cult. And yes, I am being cleansed by the Holy Ghost. My thinking is being cleansed. And if you want to call it brainwashed, that's fine. But I'm proud of it. I'm glad because I know where I was. I know what I was doing. I know how I used to think. I knew what was going on in my heart. And today, it's a whole different story. I have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. I have allowed faith to cleanse my heart. And I'm thankful for it. Because if I didn't, I could not. There's no way I could stand up here before anybody and say anything. Because of an unclean heart. Is that okay? My heart, my desire. I'm jumping off my message quite a bit, but it's okay. My desire is to have such a pure heart for myself that I see God. You see, and you know where I somehow God has places. I know where I'm going to see God at. You know where? I'm going to see it in people. I'm going to see God. Oh, whoo, look at that. Look at that brother right there. I see God there.
Amen.
I was fasting, and I was at the mine. I was walking out of the shop. I was heading out to go look at something that I had that they needed some information on. I'm walking out, going through the welding shop. Got on the outside where they put all their big steel plates that they weld, and there's a guy walking. And he looks at me and goes, Hey, brother, and he's a Christian. He shakes my hand. He goes, hey, brother Henry, how are you? And then, and I said, man, I'm good. And all of a sudden he goes, woo. I mean, he got off. This is at work. You don't do this kind of stuff at work because they'll throw you out. His name was Frank Zumpano, man. He's a good friend of mine. And he goes, woo, Henry, what have you been doing, man? Because he felt the presence of God, man. And you see, I know, the Bible says that faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. See, I'm not after cars and houses and homes and everything with my faith. I'm after the things of God. I want to have a pure heart so that I can see God everywhere I go. Is that okay? Because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, it all belongs to Him. The Bible says that the earth is full of the goodness of God.
Amen.
I want to see it. Show it to me, Lord. I don't want to exercise my faith just for, you know, $20. Are you getting what I'm saying? I want that faith that I want to see this kingdom. I want to see God. I want to see how He's working. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. Faith will take us there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I couldn't speak to you as spiritual, but as in the carnal people, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, I have fed you with milk. That's what reading the Word of God, reading His Word, His letters that Paul wrote and all these guys, Timothy, that he wrote to Timothy and Peter and reading the word will give you milk, because when you're a baby, you need milk. Is that right? How many know that? Is that true? You don't slap a steak on a little newborn. Is that right? Here you go, man. Eat this thing. Yeah. What are you crying about? Chew it. Oh, you got no teeth? Okay. Yeah, I'll chew it for you. You eat it. No, man, you don't slap a steak on a newborn. You give them milk. Is that right? Because and that milk will strengthen them. It takes a while. It begins to strengthen them, strengthen them, strengthen. My grandson, when he was little, he was a little guy, and we didn't know, but he had something going on with a sphincter? Some kind of a valve that's at the bottom of your stomach. And we didn't know. And he was eating. He would eat like crazy, and then he would like Old Yeller, or yeah, not Old Yeller. He was like a geyser of milk coming out. He ate a bunch of it. One day I picked him up, and he looked like Kermit the Frog. His stomach was all big, and had two little skinny legs hanging down. And I go, what's wrong with this kid? And he kept, I guess the doctor they were taking him to, she said, no, just change the milk. Change the milk. Change the milk. Finally, a young lady used to be in my youth group, pastor's daughter, who was studying medicine. She goes, what's wrong with him is this, that, and the other. I don't know what she said. But my daughter took Davin to the doctor and said this, that, and the other. And she said, oh, it could be that. And they checked, sure enough, that valve was way too small. Had to get a little surgery. They opened that up. Boom, he fattened up like a little. Yeah, can you say amen to that? But it took a while. Milk will strengthen you. It really will. It'll strengthen you really good. So it's important that we start out on milk. You know what? Sometimes we go to talk to people out on the street, they don't know nothing about God, and we try to give them meat. Man, you know what they'll respond to? Hey, man, nice hat, bro. He's God. That's a beautiful hat. What does it say? Socks. Is that for the White Sox? Red Sox. Okay. Praise God. Hey, man. Hey, man. You're a good man. Walk away. Whatever. You know. But start him out on milk. Don't try to talk to him. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, brother. You ever know the Lord? Come on, man. That's not going to work. That won't work. They got to start him out on milk. Just like a baby, you got to let God do what he wants to do the way he does it. He raises the kingdom of God. He brings us up. Is that okay? This is a beautiful thing, man. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. The apostle is kind of going after the church because they've been listening to the word, but they haven't really been responding. He says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness because he's a baby. Is that right? You don't expect your child to drive a car. They got to learn. So he said, everyone is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. He says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. How many of you like to consider yourself full age in the kingdom? I like to consider myself a full age. Even those who by reason, look at those three words, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You see that? By reason of use. You're not going to like this part. But by reason of use is how you begin to grow, and your senses about you begin to become stronger and stronger. Can you say amen to that? Bro, I wrote down this scripture, Terry, but I didn't put it in because I wasn't sure if I was going to use it, but I can see God wants me to use it. It's in Job chapter 17, verse 9. Can you bring that up? Look at this. Let's see. Everybody whistle. 17 verse 9. Yeah, it's already up. Quit whistling. Yeah, it says, the righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. You see that? See, holding on, it's one thing to get saved, I think it was Jimmy Swaggart that was saying that in his crusades, he would have a lot of people come down, but what he found out was there was a very small amount of people that would hold on. Do you know what I'm saying? Some very small would just, I mean, they would really get saved and they keep moving, going forward, became Christians and became men and women of God. But a lot of them just kind of fell back and just almost forgot what they, you know, I mean, it's almost like this is the thing about God's word. You've got to hold on and keep going. Is that okay? See how it says the righteous shall hold on his way. Hey, this is what God has said, and I believe it, so I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to hold it. And the more you hold on it, the stronger it makes you. But strength doesn't come just by holding on to one little thing. Can I tell you that? Do you understand that strength doesn't come that way? Strength comes, you know, like this, through you being tested. Are you okay with that? No. Yes? No? Maybe so? Yeah, yeah. How many like the test that God brings you through?
No.
See, we have to understand that God in his word says that these tests are good for us. Is that right? Is that okay? Yeah. Nobody likes being tested. Even in school, I hated tests. I didn't like it. And then when I get my grad, I go, see, that's not a surprise to me. Well, you failed it. Yeah, well, see, why give me a test? I'm going to fail it. I never did like tests. But tests are what God builds you and strengthens you. So whatever he's given you, hold on to it and watch what he does. In this is going to come James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. My brothers and sisters, all right, here we go. Count it what? All joy. Count it fun and delicious.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Amen.
When you fall into different temptations. Knowing this, know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Lacking, wanting nothing. Lacking, that word wanting means lacking nothing. See, there is a course that God has us on. Is that right? That you might be perfect and entire. Right? You have everything. Lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, anybody lack wisdom here? Sometimes I get it a lot. I'm not lacking wisdom. Rosie goes, yeah, that's not very smart. That's okay. Yeah. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to everybody liberally and upbraids not, it shall be given to him. But let him ask, well, how do you ask? In faith. See, that little element of faith is still there, even in the trial. That little element of faith is going to say, this is good for me, even though it don't feel good. It don't look good. I don't want it. I don't care. I'm not real happy about you bringing it to me. But your word says it's going to create in me something good. Can you say amen to that? You see, faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. It will create something good if you let it. If you call it what it is, can you say, stop calling these things the devil. It's the devil. It's the devil doing it. Stop that. He's got no part. He has nothing. He's a defeated foe. And we bring him up every time. He likes that. Can I tell you that? See, people think that I don't believe in the devil. Oh, he's out there. He really is. But he's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He can't do what everybody says he can do. Everybody all over the world talks about the devil, that they're doing this and that. He can't do it that way. Most of the time, I will tell you, it's not him. It's God. It is God taking him through one of these little places. Look, if you will believe it's me, I'll let you see that this is really good for you. Can you say amen to that? all those things. Hey, see, what happens when we step into the kingdom, God begins this little program of faith building for us. He that began a good work in you is going to complete it. So all those things are of God. Can you say amen to that? Can God keep them from happening? Oh, absolutely. And I will tell you, he probably has kept a lot from us. I would say he's probably, some of us, you got a whole band of angels around you. Six circles all the way around.
Wow. Amen.
Because of your choices of how you think. Can you say amen to that? If you would just believe God, man, the angels could take a break. Yeah, that's right. But nah, we think in ways that God says, no, that's contrary to what I'm saying. Count it all joy when you run into these different things. He says, because it's building you. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that asks, or he that wavers, is like the wave of the sea, driven to the wind and tossed. Everybody wave at somebody across the room. Wave. Just wave at them. Everybody. Just wave at somebody. Yeah. Hey, hi. Wave. See how fast that went? That came and gone. Is that right?
Yeah.
He that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not man think that he shall receive anything. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see, I have faith in God. I have faith in God. I have faith in God. Oh, I got no money. The devil took my money. The devil took my money. The devil took my money. I have faith in God. I have faith in God. I have faith in God. Oh, man, what's going on here? God, I think I got cancer. I think I got cancer right here. Yeah, that's what's going on. I think I got cancer. You see, we have a double-mindedness about us, and God say, I need to remove that. I'm exercising it so that you will discern what's good and what's evil. Is that right? Is that what we read? Exercising it. Causing your faith to gain some muscle. Can you say amen to that? How many of you want your faith to have muscle? Some strength. Is that right? Like I said, it's powerful stuff. It don't need muscle. The apostles, Lord, increase our faith. Jesus knows that you don't need increasing. You just need faith. It doesn't need to be increased. Woo. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So don't lose sight of the goal. God is doing something. He's going to perfect you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit's job to perfect you, not your job. He does that work in you. If you allow him to, if you will yield yourself to him, he will do the work. It's cool. The more you yield yourself to him, the more you grow. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The more you don't yield, I mean, you kind of stay in the same place. We used to have a saying for you, keep going around the mountain in the same place. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you don't learn anything. But if you yield to him, you're gonna learn. He's going to show you. He's going to take you to where he's trying to get you to, because it's him that's working in you and not you yourself. Is that okay? He's got a goal for you. So here's where I'm going to read. So now you can wake up. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. It's a long read. And last week we talked about when Jesus, they were in the ship, all these mighty strong sailors, and Jesus asleep in the boat, and the sea gets all messed up, and they are scared. They're screaming like little girls. Is that right? Jesus, 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 wake up, Jesus. Yeah, and he gets up, and he's standing, peace be still. And he says, I'm going back to bed. And he goes back to the back of the ship, and they're wondering, what kind of man is this? Man, he's a man of God is what he is, man.
You
know. I mean, I know that's my version of it, but that's, I can do that, right, Tommy? Yeah, come on, man. But this is a different story. Here they're on the ocean. They're on the Sea of Galilee again. And it says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side. while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Now, how many know that Jesus spent a lot of time praying? That, I mean, that's a good clue for you to do some praying. Is that right? And when the evening was come, he was there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on what? On the sea. Was he walking on the water? He was walking on the sea.
Every day.
anybody seen Pirates of the Caribbean? See them bone guys, they're walking under the water. Yeah. No, man. I like Jesus walking on the top of that water. Come on, man. Yeah. Some of you haven't seen that. So kind of just picture that. Anyway, here is it. He's walking on the sea and they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." Is that right? And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be you, thou, bid me to come to you on the water." Here's Peter is saying something that is totally contrary to his head. Can you say amen to that? Come on, Peter. You should know, you step out of that boat, boom, you'll be kissing fish. Is that right? You should know that, Peter. Is that right? It's contrary to you. Nobody thinks that way. Even the rest of the side. I mean, did you notice that the rest of the guys didn't get out of the boat?
Yeah.
Chickens. Come on. Chickens, man. Come on, man. Hey, Jesus is walking on the water. I'm going to say this again forever. I'll say this because I know that this is the Lord. He said he does nothing that he doesn't call into our lives that we can do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you want to run to England from here, go ahead. It might take you a while.
Well, yeah.
But see, God has always given us an example of what a redeemed person looks like that's walking on the earth. He's given us Christ, the only example. Whatever he's done, he's designed us to operate just in that way. Isn't that weird? A problem is our mind keeps us away. Is that right? The Bible says a double mind is what?
Unstable
in all the ways. So Peter is pushing.
Yes.
If that's you, let me come out to you, man. Totally contrary to what he thinks. It really is. Peter's pushing. Amen? How many know sometimes we just got to push? We got to trust God enough to push. And he said, "Come." Jesus said, "Oh." I mean, Peter probably thought, "Oh." He said, "Come." Jesus goes, "Nah, man, stay there. I'll get there. Just stay there, bro." No, he didn't. He said, "Come." Man. So Peter, when Peter was down out of the ship, what did he do? He walked on the water. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, faith is very powerful. That little tiny bit of faith, spiritual plutonium, is that right, Steve? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, right, boisterous, he was what? Afraid. Here's where we get into this. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. He's looking at the wind. He's looking at the waves. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" Is that right?
Amen.
Can I tell you, folks, doubt will try to cover up faith every time. It will. But the faith is still there. Is that right? Did he not carry on after this? Did he not go and write 1 and 2 Peter for us? Didn't he keep on going? Didn't he? See, these things were all strengthening him. It was for him. Huh. Isn't that cool? I love it, man. Why did you doubt? Doubt will do it. Doubt will kill it. Don't let it. It's still there, but don't let doubt cover it up. It says, and when they were come to the ship, look at this. I like this part. The wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, what they say? Of a truth, you are what? The Son of God. I will tell you, this is the goal right here. You're looking at the goal. You're looking at the goal that God has for every one of us. It's Christ in us. Is that right? Is that correct? But the goal is even those around you, not that they're going to worship you. Don't be silly about that. What the goal is they are recognized a son of God. Is that okay? Here's the goal. Listen to the goal. Here's what the goal is. John chapter 1 verses 12 and 13 says this. But as many as received him, how many received him? To them gave he power. I like to call this verse a growth verse. For first you got to receive him. And then after receiving, he's going to give you power. The power is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost beginning to operate in your life. Is that okay? Amen. Folks, I will tell you and I will tell you and I'll tell you again. You don't know how to pray with your head. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to pray in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God pray through you, and it will bring forth everything that you need. Can you say amen to that? So it's not. So it says it. So as many as received him, to him gave he the power, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit causes you to become what? The Son of God. The sons of God. This, my friend, is the goal that God has for his kingdom on the earth, that his children would represent the God that they serve. Can you say amen to that? Amen. With all that, and people will recognize, they will say, man, truly, you are a son of God. Can you say amen to that? That's what God is saying to us. He says, look, allow the things that I'm taking you through, let faith take you through them. They will strengthen you, that the world might see that you are a son or daughter of the living God. Can you say amen to that? Let's stand. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I will tell you that faith is substance and it is evidence. It is substance of things hoped for. It's evidence of things not seen. It is substance. And I like what it says faith is. Faith is. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Faith is. Is faith in your life? Just say, yeah, faith is.
Faith.
Yeah, man. Faith is in my life. It is a, I will tell you again, it is a most powerful element in the king, in the child of God's life. Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Father, I pray, God, that you would, Father God, Father, that you would show your children, show us more and more of the workings that you have for us, Father God. Father, we count it all joy to go through those trials because we know, Father, and we believe, God, that they are building us and strengthening us for your purpose and for your will on the earth, God. We thank you for it this morning. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you for coming to church this morning. Hallelujah. Woo.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.